It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención, classes in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more, that's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause them churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line up online is a requisite. Never take a deficit, yeah. That mean you take a loss and you stray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it's say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento. La Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento. No te pierdas en doctrina como viento. Estudia y ora y aplica. Tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita. Escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y israelita. Oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour. Learn your family history, don't be a coward. Yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Your history to learn, it's the power hour. Dealing with hour. Tune in to your history, learning your history. Power hour, dealing with hour.
Hey,
we can't
see. Trying to
see yourself. Make
sure you're looking good.
Yeah.
Hey.
Shalom.
Are we on?
Yeah, we on, bro.
Shalom. Most
High
Christ
blessed.
Most
High Christ blessed. Power hour in the morning right
Welcome
here.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We back in it. So we got part deuce of this right here. What's the title? I can't see. You got to put me up.
It's Blacks and Hispanics United in Mexico.
Yep.
Blacks and Hispanics United in Mexico.
We even go through half of the stuff that we're in there. You know what I mean? But
I think it was like 1/4 maybe. You know, y'all just got in.
We get excited, man. We start talking and stuff. So all praise to the Most High. This is a big topic. Because in the last days, you're going to see the unity come. And I'm not talking about a barbecue. I'm not talking about getting together on in a car show, you know what I mean, the lowrider show. You know, we do have the same similar things that we like and stuff in the secular world. I'm talking about biblical. I'm talking about the prophecy being fulfilled in these last days of the black and Hispanic, and also the Native American, to come unify back into what we originally were made for.
That's right.
Because for many years we've dealt with the same issue, the same problems in our community, but we have never dealt with it unitedly with the scriptures. We tried to throw a Black Panther Party at it, the Brown Beret.
AIM.
You got the AIMS. We got things our politicians, we like to do that. All those things that we like to use in a carnal, I'll put it that way, in a carnal mindset that we like to use in the world, but nothing ever gets done. And they encourage us. And when I say they, the so-called white men, they encourage us to use those things because they know that there's no benefit in those things. There's no benefit in the things of the world. You know what I mean? So we left off last time talking about what you were just saying about.
I was bringing out articles dealing with how Negroes, you know, like in Texas, Louisiana, all in that area, how we used to be in slavery. And so we knew that we could escape to Mexico for freedom because mm-hmm. we knew that the so-called Mexicans would actually help us, you know, and protect us from those, even the slave catchers, you know, those who were trying to get us back into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And so we was going over that. And also like those leaders that were in Mexico, you know, like we had black leaders as well. You know, as a black president in Mexico, you know, that helped, you know, that fought for us. And yep. So that's what was going over.
And that this is not, and how would you say, you look at something like that in slavery, oh, that's a long time ago or whatever, but the persecution and the oppression still there in our people. So when you see those things are still happening today, guess what? Things are still happening again. Give me the baseball article. Give me the baseball article on Facebook right now. Because, I mean, yeah, it's a sports, you know what I mean? But a lot of things that we wanted to do, we're not going to use that one. That one I sent you about, well, but go ahead and just show the baseball one right here. Because look, I'm going to show you something about baseball because we always think about us getting into the baseball, Jackie Robinson and those things. But look what happened before that, before Jackie Robinson, what was going on. Go ahead.
Did you know that Mexico integrated baseball years before the United States? Before Jackie Robinson broke the U.S. color line in 1947, the real field of dreams for black ball players was south of the border. From 1937 to 1946, more than 150 black players from the U.S. went to play in the Mexican League, including future Hall of Famers Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson. In Mexico, they found better salaries and social conditions.
Wait, stop! Stop! You're telling me you found a better salary in Mexico than you did in the United States? That's unheard of today.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? And then one thing that they said at the beginning that the what did they say?
Integrated.
Mm-hmm. Integrated. One thing you got to understand that guess what? We are the same people. The black and Hispanics are the same people.
Mexico money is not even worth as much
right.
as
no.
money.
Maybe back ain't. Then it was. Back
okay.
then it was.
Okay.
And you know, also, Issachar and Judah have the same foremother and forefather.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. Same thing. So go ahead and play. We'll back it up a little bit.
Test this.
Can you hear me?
To 1946, more than 150 black players from the U.S. went to play in the Mexican League, including future...
Stop. I'm sorry. Rewind a little bit more because those dates are very important. Where were you at? Right before they said 1946. Go ahead.
Of the borders. From 1937 to 1946...
Stop. What was happening during this time in the United States and around the world?
World War II.
World War II. And what were they using us for? They were using us for the war. Mm-hmm. You mean? If you weren't going to war, what were you doing? You were working back, and there was really no work. After the Depression, guess what? It didn't just bounce. The economy just didn't bounce up.
Right.
You know what I mean? The Depression was still, you broke, you know what I mean? And the poor were poorer than the poor. You know what I mean? So if you're already poor coming into the Depression, and the Depression got you, you got even poorer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It wasn't no – y'all got to understand that if those who have older generation grandmothers and grandfathers, you knew how they understand they don't – one thing about my parents, grandparents, they didn't trust the banks.
No. They had all their cash at home.
They had it. I remember one time my grandpa would pull the rug, the middle rug in his living space – he paid it up, and he had $400 or $500 just there.
Yep.
And he'd get like a couple of 20s, and he'd give it to my sister for her birthday or whatever. You know, this is back in the world when we
all those
old
had
that mattress
there
money.
Was there everybody. Nobody yeah. had a bank account. Nobody was banking back then.
The mattress, you know what I mean?
Mattress, yes, sir.
You know the mattress. They have a cookie jar right there, full of money. They didn't trust them.
No.
Even after the banks, how would you say, back up. You know, if you walk in every bank, there's a
FDIC.
FDIC, that's right. Thank you. FDIC, where it's back, your money's backed up.
It's insured.
If it got robbed, if there's a fire or whatever, that money, you saw it. You know what I mean? They're gonna give you money back. You know what I mean? So you got to understand the mindset of this time and period and stuff. You know what I mean? Go ahead and play.
Add, there was no IMF. That's why Mexico paid more than
mm-hmm.
America did.
The IMF is?
It's the International Monetary Fund. It's the so-called Edomites that say your money worth this and my money worth this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and remember, back then, before Franklin D. Roosevelt, the president, the money of the United States, the money that we used, was backed up by gold.
So,
it was backed up by a resource that was in the earth or something that was used to trade, right? So that was backed up by something.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they started to, and this is another for another day, but pretty much now after that, if you pick up a dollar, it would say
a note,
right here, Federal Reserve note. Yeah. So this is just a note, but it's not backed up by anything. It's a piece of paper. It's backed up, just circling them. Before it was behind it. It had gold. Instead of you carrying around gold and coins, you know, you had a paper, right?
Let me have that dollar there.
Hey, you got that rug money?
It's a Sabbath, y'all.
Yeah.
You just pulled out that rug money.
So go. You see, I stuck up on my grandparents. Let me hide money. You know, just for rainy day. Go ahead and pitch play.
More than 150 black players from the U.S. went to play in the Mexican League, including future Hall of Famers Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson. In Mexico, they found better salaries and social conditions.
I've found freedom and democracy here, something I never found in the United States. Here, in Mexico, I am a man.
So, how did this happen? The driving force behind integration was a wealthy businessman named Jorge Pasquel. As one of the Mexican League's main sponsors, and later as the owner of a team called the Azules de Veracruz, he began signing black stars to play for Mexico. He offered them salaries they could never have dreamed of getting in the Negro Leagues. Pasquel didn't stop there. In 1944, he also began to court white MLB players, offering them huge salaries too. By 1946, Mexico had the first fully integrated league in the world, desegregating baseball 9 years before the U.S. did. Pasquel and the Mexican League are often forgotten by history, but they changed the trajectory of baseball forever and paved the way for the MLB as we know it.
I remember my time in Mexico fondly. It was the first time in my life that I felt free. We could go anywhere we wanted, eat anywhere we wanted, do anything we wanted, and not have to worry about anything. I owe that experience to Jorge Pasquel.
I ain't never heard none of this.
Me either. It's heavy, though.
You gotta understand this. And I say this. Everything that we do, right, whether it be in the hood, whether it be wrong or be right, right? Esau looks at it and says, well, how, if they're making money out of it or they're making so big out of it, how can we benefit or make it legal so we can have it? Because now you see you got...
That's what they did with weed.
Yeah, weed, right? And there's another topic, too, where there's another... I think we had another class where they were associating marijuana and Mexicans together because a lot of the weed came from Mexico.
Back then,
right? And during the Depression, they were banning the weed, not only the weed, but with weed. The reason why they put a heavy law against weed is because it was associated with Mexicans, and the Mexicans were the ones bringing it, and they were saying that they were illegal Mexicans bringing it. Right. So that's what happened to it. But come with that, also with the numbers. Remember the 1920s and 30s? They had something called the numbers.
The numbers, like where you pick the numbers.
The numbers. That's called the lottery today.
Yes, it is.
Right? You see that in Bumpy Johnson. What's that movie called?
Godfather of Harlem.
Harlem. And you see, there's another movie before that.
There's a bunch of movies.
A bunch of movies.
Harlem Nights.
Harlem Nights. Yeah. And
Harlem
then you
Nights,
got
Cotton Comes to Harlem.
Right. What's the one with the Bumpy Johnson movie?
Talking about American Gangster.
No, the one it's with Lauren Fishburne.
It's Godfather of Harlem.
No. It's another one.
Oh, Lauren Fishburne, I'm thinking Forrest Whitaker.
Well, and anyways, but that movie, they're showing you the numbers on there, and that's what it is. It's the lottery.
It is.
You pick a number, you go, and then if you hit it, you know what I mean. So what do they do now? Now they got the lottery.
Same exact thing.
The same thing. Now they bet, and same thing with the alcohol. Because in Mexico, they were selling alcohol in Mexico.
Right.
You know what I mean? During the time when they had the prohibition about the alcohol and stuff.
Hey,
all those things.
The hair weaves as well. I remember when Moab didn't sell weaves. I do. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And right.
Our people would go get it and do it all ourselves. Yeah. We had to do it from the sisters. But now, they always find a way to capitalize on everything we do, bro. Everything.
What are you saying there?
I was just going to say, we have the lottery, but they say that the U.S. is supposed to be in so much debt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We're giving like billions of dollars to Ukraine.
Right. Israel.
Yeah. And what I was saying, when I said all that to say this, what were they doing? They're in baseball. Esau saw that. He saw, hey, wait a minute, Mexico's paying money for these Negroes to go out over there, play baseball, and they selling out stadiums. And because, I mean, you got to understand that if when you look at the league, right, the best baseball players are black and Hispanics.
Yeah, of course.
If it wasn't for black and Hispanics, it wouldn't be the game it is.
That's every sport.
You know, it's every sport. Yes, but sir. When we talk about baseball, you talk about baseball, it's like, wow. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't see a lot of Mexicans playing football. I'm just saying baseball is a little different. You know what I mean? You see more like
Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans.
I pick up a lot of these brothers too.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but what it is you got to understand that they're taking that capitalism. They're taking that gain from when they see the sports, when they see our people doing something, they got to take it. They got to rob it. Right? And then guess what? We don't have a system where we are organized to do something like this.
Right.
We can't get together and say, hey, let's do this and that. Because we could, if we all had one mind, one accord, hey, you know what? Get out your contract and let's start our own league. They'll try to shut us down somehow.
Right.
Right?
Ice Cube tried to do that with the 3-on-3 basketball. Mm-hmm. He tried to do that. And so, of course, all the big stars, you know, they weren't really going for it. But, you know.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And it's always like that, right? So we got to understand that, guess what, all these, this ain't in the history. And then I have another one. Today, we got a lot of Haitians in Tijuana. Give me that one. Did I send you that one with the Haitians in Tijuana? Yeah, right there. Is that one, is that the one I want? No, it's another one. The one before video, right before that one. Yeah, that one's it right there. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and play that one right there. We're showing you because we talked about the slavery running to Mexico, right? And then we got the baseball also going to Mexico, and now let's look at this one right here. Go ahead.
Tijuana resident Janet Aguilar sits with two little Haitian children on the sidewalk, exchanging food and kisses. She remembers when she first saw the large crowds of Haitian and African migrants on the streets. It was unusual. Only about 1% of Mexico's population is black. Aguilar went online to find out what was happening and realized the migrants were coming from countries with political and economic crises. She wanted to help.
We come every day with them. We bring them candy, food. We're with them a little while. Yesterday, they braided my whole head of hair.
The streets of Tijuana have long been filled with migrants heading to the U.S., mostly from southern Mexico and Central America. Those migrants are often shunned by the locals, forced to live out of sight in sewers. Aguilar says it's different with the migrants from Haiti and Africa.
They're always happy, always smiling. They're always having fun.
She's not the only one who feels this way. All day, Tijuana residents stop by the migrant shelters where the Haitians and Africans congregate. They give away clothes. They drop off snacks like sandwiches and sports drinks. They cook full meals. Some of the Mexican and Central American migrants who live on the streets find this one-sided charity unfair. They squeeze into the crowds to grab some for themselves.
Thank you, Jesus Christ, for everybody, all people.
Just a few days ago, Tijuana residents set up a table on the street, offering fried chicken, rice, and beans to the Haitians and Africans. Homeless Mexican migrants got in line. Jorge Cruz, a Tijuana taxi driver who brought the chicken, was not happy about that.
I told him, you're Mexican. What do you lack?
Some of the Mexican and Central American migrants are also fleeing dire circumstances, such as persecution. But locals have an easier time perceiving the Haitian and African migrants as needing their help. José Luis Aguilar set up the table on the street. At first he brought tortas and burritos, Mexican food. But the Haitians didn't like it. He found out that they preferred chicken, rice, and beans.
But right now we just find out they like whole beans, not fresh beans.
The surge of Haitians and Africans started in May. Since then, migrant shelters like the Desayunador Salesiano have housed and fed thousands. But as more keep coming, it's starting to be too much for the shelters.
This is turning into chaos, into an alarming crisis.
Shelter coordinator Margarita Andonaigi says generous Mexicans are making things worse. All the charity has created a sort of party atmosphere in the streets, she says. People leave trash everywhere. They fail to come into the shelter for their daily breakfast and dinner, preferring to eat outside. Haitians and Africans are mixing with homeless locals who use drugs, she says.
They're addicts who take advantage of the situation, and they say, my Haitian friend, I love you.
Okay, give me Zephaniah 2:1. You got to understand that the Most High is a mastermind. These things that are happening, I'm telling you, I went to Tijuana myself less than a year ago, and I was surprised to see so many Haitians there. When we were teaching out in the streets, we had to have we had Spanish camp, but we also had to have a side camp for to speak in Creole, right? And a lot of those did speak Spanish, and guess what? They were working out there. You got to understand where they come from, right? Those who have gone to Mexico, yes, it may look poor, and dang, how do they live out here? How do they make it? Mm-hmm. And they make it. But the economy compared to Haiti, it's 100 times better. Mm-hmm. So when the Haitian comes from a state where they're at, and they come to Tijuana, they see nothing but opportunities. Mm-hmm. That's why we saw Haitians having their own water. I mean, agua stand, their favorite water stand. They had their own stand. They had their own businesses selling, mm-hmm. catering to Mexicans. Because why? They saw opportunity. Mm-hmm. You understand? But this is bigger. This isn't the bigger than what's happening. Go ahead and read that.
This is the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea. Gather together, O nation not desired.
Yes, you see what them going in there doing this, that, and the third. Maybe they said that they're uniting with the locals that are homeless and there's a drug problem. And they, yeah, that they're united. But when this truth comes into that neighborhood and it's already set up, whether they're just there and they're like, wait a minute, we the same people,
right?
We go into the same situation. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. It's time for us to change.
During the video, they're showing the Mexicans taking care of the Haitians.
Yep.
But all I saw was brotherly love. That's how you're supposed to be with each other. That's what I saw.
And they saw that these guys, if we don't have nothing, but we have something,
right.
They really don't have nothing. They come over here and they got nothing. Mm-hmm. You got to understand, these Haitians, they try to go to the United States and they got deported. But these guys are like, we're not going to spend all that money to take them to Haiti, but drop them right off on the other side of that fence. Because we ain't spending more dime on than we have to. So, but now, guess what? It's our opportunity to understand that, wait a minute, they struggling with the same thing we are. So what are they doing? They're helping. It says, read it again?
It's the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired.
The thing about this scripture is that we have to realize that we're one nation. We have to realize, I guess, well, we're no longer Haitian. We're no longer Mexicans. We're no longer Dominicans, Puerto Ricans. When we start realizing that and start reading these scriptures, we understand, guess what? We're a holy nation and chosen by God. Give me that Deuteronomy 7 and 6. Because there's something that they say about this nation that's very, very important. It's very important what it says on there, because for many years, like you see a part of the video where the guy was like talking about Jesus Christ and stuff, but that's a Christian mindset.
Jesus Christ, love of God.
You know what I mean? That's a mindset, and there's a doctrine behind that. But that's not a doctrine of the Bible. That's a doctrine of Christianity. I'm going to say that again. That's a doctrine of Christianity. Because when we read the scripture, you're going to understand what the purpose of the Bible is, right? Go ahead.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
They were saying that they're going to be above all people. But when we are separate and divided, mm-hmm. and we're not in unity, we don't look like a nation.
Right.
Speak as a nation.
Can't be above. We got to work together.
That's right.
Wait, what do they call it? Crabs in a barrel?
Crabs in a barrel, yeah.
When we become that crab in a barrel, we will never succeed as the nation that the Bible's talking about, right?
And I know that from, you know, I'm a black brother, so we can't stand to see each other doing good.
Yeah.
Issachar different. Y'all help each other out, but Judah, we the real crabs in the
barrel. Yeah. But, and that's a spiritual theme. Why? Because the Bible says what? That the tenth of Judah shall rise first.
Right. Yes, sir.
So when the head gets right, the rest of the body will fall in line.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? When we see that thing in Judah, I'm telling you, that's what I'll praise the Most High, that when I see the leadership of IUIC, and when they, in the spirit, speak in the prophecy of us, who we are, and where we are in the Bible, and it woke me up. I said, man, I can't never let this thing go.
Never.
Hey, look at the tribe of Issachar putting respect on Judah.
That's
hey,
right.
You gotta get, I know,
putting respect on Judah.
I know we give a lot, you know.
Judah. Bring it out.
I know we give a lot, you know, we joke around and stuff, but at the end of the day, Judah gotta have that leadership.
They do.
Because we're never gonna notice the leadership in the scriptures until they start applying it first.
Right. You know, tribe Issachar, you know, they gotta get it together. You know, they gotta fall in line. You know, it follows you. You know what I mean?
You see they're the very last tribe on the 12 tribes chart.
That's what they say. But you know what I mean? There's a spiritual gift that Judah has been given.
That's
and
right.
There's a saying that if you're going to be stupid, you got to be tough, right?
Right.
So through the ignorance that we've been through, we had to be tough.
Right.
And the guess what? The more ignorant, but the minute that you wake up, guess what? Your toughness being the spirit in you, that guess what? Hey, wait a minute. I can't be stupid for another generation.
Right.
I can't be ignorant when these things are going through. If my forefathers have gone through the same BS every single generation, I got to be the one to stop this.
Right.
Because guess what? You're going to look at your child, he's going to go through the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Hey, officer.
Yes, sir.
We was briefly talking about it on the Power Hour, how we've entered that time to where the tables are turning and we're reversing those effects that you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Like we're having more quality generations coming up, and it's true. So it's a change that's occurring, like that great awakening that's occurring.
That Willie Lynch, that phenomenon from Willie Lynch.
Yeah, we're gonna really look at the you have to see it. You got to wake up and see it. You know what I mean? We're teaching on the streets, and we're teaching these small things that you need to correct, and we need to research. Like for example, the traditions, right? Those rudiments of the world. Those things, when you are doing those things, and we tell you, hey, look up those things. Mm-hmm. Seek out, why are you doing this? What is the purpose of these things?
Right.
If you being a Catholic, and you're a Catholic just because your forefathers were Catholic, why? Mm-hmm. What's benefiting you?
Right.
When you're going through struggles, what is that church doing for you?
Mm-hmm.
How is it feeding you spiritually? You got to wake up, you got to open your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come to the Israelites, and they're giving you answers and solutions for your problems,
out of the Bible,
out of the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
And there's something that makes logical. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times they want to ignore it,
right?
Because they have that pride. Like, no, this is what we do. I'm gonna go. How am I gonna look on my family? How am I gonna look doing this or doing something different? You know what I mean? How am I going to be at a party or something and tell them, well, I don't eat that, I don't do that. Oh no, I can't. I'm gonna be set apart.
Right.
I'm gonna be different.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what the Bible's calling out. Right. Did you finish that video? Go finish that video. Is there anything else?
My Haitian friend, I love you. Smoke this. Drink this.
Love this.
She says the shelter has already had to turn away previously well-behaved Haitians and Africans who showed up under the influence. And the Nike says she's also worried about all the drivers who keep stopping and picking up the migrants, offering them housing and jobs, and
that's
taking
the
them away.
Opposite of what goes on here.
Yeah.
Where did it take them? What was the purpose of taking them? They don't know what they're getting into.
Next to the shelter, the migrants get documents from Mexican immigration officials who are working with the U.S. to give migrants set dates to appear at a port of entry. And Onegi says the documents are problematic.
Esta es la mamá que cruza el 23.
I have here a mom who crosses the 23rd. This is her baby who crosses the 23rd. No problem there. But the other baby, the youngest, crosses the 24th.
Cruza el 24.
The shelters are working with officials to slowly funnel the migrants to the ports of entry. But Andonagi says that now that the U.S. has decided to start sending most of the Haitians back to Haiti, everything's going to change. Many of the Haitians may decide not to cross into the U.S. at all because they don't want to go back to Haiti, which hasn't recovered from the devastating 2010 earthquake. That means they may end up staying in Tijuana.
They're going to stay in Tijuana? You ain't. I'm telling you, you're not gonna want to go back to Haiti. When Haiti's when we had classes before, Haiti's going through hell.
That's what Haiti means.
That's what Haiti means. They're going through hell. They're going through the deepest hell. So when they go to TJ, they see nothing but opportunity. Right.
You did hear him say that the earthquake happened in 2010. That was 13 years ago, and they still
haven't
recovered. Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't. Yeah. And they're eating dirt pies over there. I'm not saying the whole country is. But a majority of our people, guess what? They're dirt poor, literally. Mm-hmm. You understand? Y'all got to understand how, the whole history of France and them robbing their resources and still having to pay the reparation for it, right?
To the slave owners.
Give me the article that I sent you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Got it, Eric, or you want me to do it?
Oh, you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Black and brown unity is needed. The Los Angeles Times recently reported that two of the California's most significant cases of racial bias brought by the federal government in the last decade alleged widespread abuse of hundreds of black employees at warehouses in the Inland Empire. For many of these incidents, the issue occurred in low-paying jobs primarily staffed by agencies. In an industry dominated by Latino workers, studies found that often a culture of segregation between Latino and African Americans would form. Racism between the Latino and the black communities is not new, but the time to resolve such issues and push forward together is more important than ever. For our growing communities to thrive, we must support one another, according to USC's Equity Institute report. African Americans and Latinos comprise 12.3% and 17.6% of the U.S. population.
That's a lie. We just saw all the earth.
Okay, right.
There's a bigger percentage than that. Believe that. Or go ahead. By 2050.
I know it was moving.
Yeah, get yourself right. Get yourself
by
together.
2050, we expect these numbers to increase to 12.7 and 24.1% of the U.S. population.
Hey, control that mouse, man. Come on. Screw it up, Lord.
The source of our present-day struggles is born of the same history of racism, discrimination, and hate that has been a core feature of this country's history, leaving both of our communities at the bottom rung of one of the wealthiest countries in the world. The source of our present-day struggles is born of the same history as racism, discrimination, and hate that has been a core feature of this country's history, leaving both of our communities at the bottom rung of one of the wealthiest countries in the world.
And guess what? Where are we always at? We're in the barrios, in the slums, in the ghetto. We're in the same situation, but yet the racism is there, right?
Right.
Right? Go ahead.
Our families and friends are more likely to work as caregivers, teachers, and other essential workers. While those roles are honorable and essential, our communities are being the brunt of the resulting devastation and loss with less pay than they are worth to our society while suffering the disrespect of police and sheriffs that target our neighborhoods.
I want to say something about those caregivers and teachers because, yes, there is a need for those things, but a lot of times when you go into the system, the so-called what do they call the school district and stuff like that, there's a curriculum that you have to be teaching them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I heard a joke but it was true. He said, hey, when I went to economic class and I saw the teacher riding the bus with me, I said, yo, this class is ridiculous. How the hell he's going to teach me about economics and he riding the bus with me?
That's real talk.
How he a professor and he's teaching me these things? Nah, There's something wrong. They're teaching me something wrong. Now these history classes, we need history, we need the science, we need all these things, but the way they're teaching it is not the way it's supposed to be taught. Mm-hmm.
Half the stuff we learn at school we don't even apply in.
It's a slave. How would you say? It's a slave practice, mm-hmm. so you can stay a slave.
Right. Mm-hmm. They take us to school so we can learn about Esau history.
Right.
That's pretty much the only reason why we and they give your money away.
Yeah. Esau history and something that guess what we use. How many times have I used algebra since I've been out of high school?
None. Zero. None. You just basic addition multiplication. Mm-hmm. That's all you need.
That's
really.
That's it. And then not even that. We got so much apps and stuff like that. You know what I mean? You plug it in.
Yep.
Not to say you don't get during the day, right?
That's why you can't add. You remember we was trying to add the other day.
That brother mad bad.
Hey, he's trying to add. Hey, you ain't right. You ain't right, right?
He put you on blast, officer.
Come home, man.
Oh, Dad, you said something on Daniel?
I was just saying, those real lessons, like the life lessons are learned at home. Like when we apply God's laws, we're supposed to be teaching that to our children. And when it comes to those things like how to maintain your bank account, how to do your taxes, how to buy a house, those are those things that the other nations, they learn at home because we don't learn that in school.
Yep. And I brought that up that guess what? That's where they want to stop us. Mm-hmm. We can do it.
Yeah, we can.
But we got to go by their laws, right? By their laws and stuff. So, and what we don't like, we rebellious. We don't like laws.
No.
We don't like rules.
No.
So what we need to be doing is when we build our schools and stuff, we got to follow by their laws because we can do it.
Yeah.
We can teach the things that we need to be teaching those kids. But that's the problem with us. We're not organized.
Right.
We got to get our stuff together, right? That gather yourself together, that's bigger than just, guess what, getting together and keeping some commandments.
Right.
That's the foundation of it. But when we get that foundation right, our mind is going to be expanded to what? Hey, we need this.
We can build up on these.
We need that, this, and that. You know what I mean?
Right.
The spiritual level of the understanding is going to rise. Mm-hmm. We're going to understand that, guess what? Hey, we got to disconnect. Mm-hmm. We're never going to fully disconnect because guess what? They're the rulers of this world.
Right.
But when that time comes right, the Most High is going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to show up. Hey, okay, these guys are getting together. I'm done with it. It's over. Mm-hmm. Right? Go ahead and read.
As the two largest minority groups that have experienced an enormous onslaught of discrimination in the United States, we should work together to support one another and achieve widespread economic success and equality. Many factions in America would like to pit us against one another and fight with each other. The rise in the white nationalism has fueled racist, anti-immigrant violence in our communities, with mass shootings in our supermarkets in El Paso and Buffalo. We must fight against hate and become advocates of peace for our communities. When we discriminate against our connected communities, we give power to others who want to keep us down. If we look at only skin color or ancestral origin, we miss our shared humanity and weaken our power. If we continue to fight against one another, our communities will remain on the bottom rungs of the ladder to prosperity. We are stronger than our struggles, and together our black and brown unity will have a proven force for meaningful, powerful social change. We at the Los Angeles Urban League understand this is just the beginning of a more extensive dialogue. We believe that the relationships with our Latino brothers and sisters is strong to find a resolution for our present and our future. Let us work together to overcome.
Okay. So it's very important for us to come into unity, right? Like I said before, it ain't about no getting no barbecue, no car show or whatever we do in those things. You know what I mean? Because we got to understand that when it comes to biblical station, we have churches. Right, the so-called Christianity, we got these social clubs and whatever the
outreach program.
We have all these things, but guess what? There's no biblical order. There's nothing going on. There's chaos and confusion always going on, because when you look at the scriptures, there's nothing being done. There's always a tradition or a thing going on. Give me before we finish, give me Zephaniah. I mean, not Zephaniah, Ezekiel. I know we brought this out last time. Because when we get together in these last days, it's going to be a building of a nation that we're going to see. Yeah, 37. It's a 37, and we're going to go to...
Let's do 15. This is the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37 and verse 15.
You know what? Do 12. I want 12.
Verse 12. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out your graves and bring you into the land of Israel.
What is this talking about? This is... Bring you out of your graves. What is this talking about? And explain, right? Go ahead and read.
13. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you of your graves.
This is the prophecy that is being going to be fulfilled. And guess what? You are the zombies that are walking dead. We're walking in this lifetime. I mean, you getting up in the morning and working 9 to 5, you know, all these things, but no knowledge of thyself. No knowledge that you're Israel. No knowledge that you have to keep these commandments. No knowledge that this Bible is for you. That knowledge is gone out the window, right? Read.
14. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord.
That spirit that is being put into us, guess what? It hasn't been completed because we're not in our own land. Mm-hmm. If you think that the United States is your own land, you're a fool.
Bring it out.
You're a fool. Because the understanding of the Bible is going to tell you that the land promise of our forefather is the land of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Jerusalem right. is what we're That's looking right. for. And not the Jerusalem we're talking about now, right? We're talking about the Jerusalem and the kingdom the Bible talks about.
The new Jerusalem. Mm-hmm.
And we're not there yet. That spirit is still being poured up. Mm-hmm. We have knowledge of ourselves. A lot of the Israelites have woken up. We're keeping commandments. But guess what? That spirit is still being poured. Scratch the surface. People are rising from the dead. And understanding that Israel and keeping these commandments, and that's for all tribes, the Black, Hispanic, and Native Americans, right? Read.
Verse 15. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion.
This is the prophecy. This is the prophecy is going to happen in these last days. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, those are the so-called Negroes of the Americas, which are the American blacks, right? The Haitian blacks, and you got the West Indian blacks.
Southern Kingdom.
Right? That's the Southern Kingdom of Israel right there.
That's right.
Right? You got to understand, when the so-called slave trades came on this side of the earth, who was already here? The Northern Kingdom, mm-hmm. right? They've already went through slavery. We were going through slavery, right? 1519, Hernan Cortes, right? All through the Americas, which were what? Those men were already what? Being broken down mm-hmm. spiritually to change who they were, what their purpose was, mm-hmm. and why were they here for, right? Because they couldn't bring the blacks over, and guess what? Hey, they know who they are, and they know who they are, and they get together. There it is. It's an uproar again. If the spirit of them keeping the commandments and knowing that they're Israel again, guess what? We done. Mm-hmm. They thought they put us asleep. But in these last days, the prophecy had come out saying that, guess what? I'm going to put the spirit back in Israel. Right,
God,
Reed?
Yes, sir. Verse 17. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand.
Oh, did you finish Ephraim? 16. Okay, read it again. Yeah, no, read right there. Then they take another stick.
Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion.
This is the northern kingdom. This is the northern kingdom. This is the so-called Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, the so-called Central Americans, the so-called Mexicans, the so-called Brazilians. All these other tribes, all the other people, that's who they are. So you got to understand this right here. It's talking about there was a split, right? And this is in Kings, where it's talking about Kings 12. It's talking about the split of Israel, right? That was a division, right? That's why in Zephaniah, when we read Zephaniah, it said that we're going to what? Gather ourselves together. Mm-hmm. That's why it's very important to gather this thing. Read.
Verse 17. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee?
Stop. Put up the 12 tribe sign, Michael. Give me the 12 tribe sign right. You should have it already from last week or something like that. So this right here is what we're talking about. Are they seeing it?
I'm going to read 18 again.
It's on the screen.
Okay. So go ahead and read it again and keep it up there.
Verse 18. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these?
They're going to... This is the stick that we have out in camp. Well, we see that Judah... What are you talking about? Judah is the American black. How are the Haitians Levi? How is Asher the Colombian to Uruguay? How is the Seminole Indians Reuben? When they start asking these things, these black Hispanics, right? What do you mean by this? This is what they're doing. This is prophecy being fulfilled every time we go out to camp. And what are we going to say? Read 19.
Verse 19. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with even the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand.
They're going to unite the tribes together. They're going to unite the black Hispanics and the Americans together, right? Why? In the scriptures. We're going to see ourselves in the scripture. We're going to see that we were in Egypt. We're going to see that we were in Babylon. We're going to see that we were in Persia, Me. We're going to see that we were in Rome, Greece. And we're going to see that we were in the Americas. And when we do that, we understand that, wait a minute, these are the people. We are the people.
Right.
There's nobody else. Ain't nobody coming next in line. Ain't nobody going to rise up to see and fulfill these prophecies. We are the prophets.
That's right.
Our job.
Can I get verse 21?
Go ahead.
Verse 21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land.
Because we also scattered into other things. And Isaiah 11:11, you know, and James 1:1. We're still scattered on those things, right? Go ahead and read. We're gonna read another one, because this is prophecy was going to happen. It's starting to build up. We always are talking about this and understanding that the unity is bigger than just these things that are happening in these earth, right?
Right.
When we unite, when we're in the slumps and the ghettos and stuff like that, we unite in things that are in the flesh, things that are in tradition, all these things. It's bigger than that. The unity in us. They think they got us when they see us together, but we were separate. Because I was hearing the other day, how is it that when we are out here in the streets, we divide ourselves by clubs, by gangs and certain things, but yet when we're in captivity, even deeper, like I'm talking about prison and stuff like that, we unite. Mm-hmm. If you from this gang and that gang, and they're killing themselves on the street, but yet you're a cell buddy or whatever, and because of your race, you unite.
Yeah, they don't allow that in there.
Yeah,
you're a Crip and you're a Blood. They don't.
Yeah,
y'all gonna get along while y'all here.
Yeah, so they unite. They unite, and that's crazy, because out here you're something else, but right. In there you unite, right? Mm-hmm. But only if we knew that we were what, all one tribe, the black Hispanics and the Americans,
right.
we would be bigger.
Right.
We would be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So go ahead and read.
Verse 22. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all.
This is the kingdom that we're waiting for. We're looking for one leader, and that's the Black Messiah.
That's right.
Because for so many years we've been believed of a Messiah that's a white man, that he's already in control right now. So why? What are we searching for after this kingdom? Another white guy to come by and take care of us?
Right.
He ain't taking care of us now.
Right. Get out.
So how are we gonna trust that? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make no sense. You gotta understand that.
You ever met a white dude named Jesus?
No, never.
I'm just saying.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You gotta understand these. You gotta understand these prophecies that is very important of these Bible. That's where they're gonna hate us and kill us, as the Bible say in these last days, for us preaching and telling the truth of what's going to happen, because it's going to wake up the elect.
Right.
It's going to wake up the people that need to be hearing it. I'm not saying everybody's going to wake up.
Right.
There's going to be people. The Bible says they're going to be against us.
Right.
Right.
It's only one third.
They're going to be confused. Give me that. It was a 24, Matthew 24, where even the elect's going to be.
Even the very elect.
The very elect. How much time we got? I don't want to.
Revelation.
No, I'm
got
talking
7
about
minutes, sir.
24.
Oh, Matthew 24.
Give me 22. 24:22. Matthew 24:22.
Yes, sir.
We in the last days. Don't fall asleep. We in the last days, right? Reed?
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 22.
Freedom!
And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Meaning, guess what? Prophecy is going to be fulfilled,
right,
and appear, and prophets are going to wake up, and more things are going to happen in a shorter period of time to get what? To the end days.
Our praises.
Right, Reed?
Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Some of y'all are still waiting for the Antichrist. Some of y'all are still waiting for false prophets. Y'all thinking, oh, where are they? Where are they? Sitting in a pew in Christianity on Sunday morning.
They'll be there tomorrow.
Y'all still waiting for them, but we're right there in front of your face. These so-called pastors, these so-called people that come, that they're Christians, these are the false prophets.
Bring it out.
Because when you bring the laws to them, they're saying, oh, that's not a way with. Oh, we don't do that. I'm wearing my suit and tie. I'm not wearing no fringes.
Bring it out. Sir.
Oh, I'm going to do clean shave because I got to look good. I'm not going to wear no beard. They're doing these things, and these are the so-called Christs that are rising up, the false Christs that are rising up, because they call themselves Christians, Christ-like. But they're not nothing like Christ. They're Antichrist.
Bring it out.
They're already here. They've been here for years. They've been trained up in slavery. They've been trained up in these so-called ministries that they have around the United States. Why? To push more lies. That's why it's very important for when they have these churches and they have these tax breaks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. This is very important. A lot of people that are, financial rich, to avoid paying taxes, they'll open a church up.
Right, right.
Because they understand that, guess what? If I donate my, you know, 50,000, 60,000 that I'm going to have to pay in taxes, or my 100, you know, if you're a billionaire, you're going to pay millions of dollars. If I donate to this church, guess what?
Get it right back.
I got it right back.
Hey, those are those nonprofits too.
Yeah, the nonprofit organizations. That's what they do.
Right.
That's the smartest thing to do. And guess what? Esau knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
But because guess what? Because they understand, too, that when they put money into those churches, they're pushing the same lies that they need this economy flowing.
Right, right.
They need those lies to be pushed in people's minds to, guess what, confuse them and keep them in the Babylonian state.
Right.
They have to stay in that. But the minute you start putting your money into when they're teaching the truth and pushing the truth, now, wait a minute. That's too much money.
Right.
That's too much growth in that area. We can't have that.
Right, like they do the double donations on that certain day, and then they won't let us do it, but they'll let the damn, what was it, the KKK or
yeah.
somebody else, they can collect it, but we can't.
They already know.
They'll tell you everything you need to know right there.
They know. They don't want to be associated, because there's somebody on top saying, hey, if you got your finger in that thing, I'm going to chop your hand off, so don't associate with yourself.
Right.
So what do? They're like, nuh-uh. I can't do that. I can't be part of that.
Right.
But I'll be with the LGBTQ community.
Right.
I'll be for the abortions. Mm-hmm. I'll be for this and that, pro-choice. You know what I mean? I'll be for whatever is out there that is accommodating to the society and the traditions. You can donate to that.
Right.
You can have that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the truth, you can't have that.
Yeah. If Kyrie Irving would have came out and said he was a woman.
Yeah.
It would have been all good, but
he would have been woman of the world,
right,
woman of the year again.
Right,
you know what I mean?
But
so
that ain't what he said.
They promote. They, everything, the confusion, everything that is, they'll promote it. They have to promote it because that is the same thing that's going to happen. Like the Bible says that just as the days of Noah, the same thing is going to happen in these last days. Right. Go ahead.
Keep going.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of man, of the Son of Man, be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light.
Okay, so this is going to the prophecy. But now my point was right here when it says in 24, and much so that if it was possible, they will deceive the very elect.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning we've been confused.
Yeah.
A lot of us, we come out of Christianity. Mm-hmm. But majority of us come out of the doctrine that we loved it. We would have died for it. But when that one drop of spiritual understanding came to us,
right.
It's like, wait a minute. Now you sit back and you start questioning everything given to us.
And I mean everything.
Everything. I'm yes, telling sir. You. When I came in this truth of understanding, I was everything. I didn't do certain things. I said, I don't know about that. People would ask me before the understanding came out to me, they would ask me certain things. What do you think about this? And I said, I don't know, but I'm not doing this.
Right.
Yeah. Until I'm safe, until I got some scriptural answer, I ain't doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because you got God on one side, and everything else is evil, bro.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
And I'm telling you, when you come into this truth, and there's a certain order in the scriptures, and the leadership is demonstrating this order,
mm-hmm.
already an example. There's already men giving examples, living examples in their household and their children. And in the congregation, these examples are being fulfilled because the first thing they do, oh, nobody keep all those laws.
Right.
Ain't nobody keep up. Man, you wake up in the morning, you just from work, from your way to work, you keep so many laws.
Yeah, you do.
That you don't even know of.
Right.
Just
laws of the land.
Just for you staying in the line and,
right.
and
stopping
driving,
at the stop sign,
the
red
stop
light.
Sign, red lights,
yeah.
having a permit, having a driver license.
Registration. Speed limit. I mean.
Everything.
Yeah.
Followed 100 laws just on your way to work.
You know what I mean?
But you can't grow a beard.
You can't, yeah, right.
Hey, they out here to serve two masters and be partial.
That's right. Yeah.
The scriptures say we can't serve two masters.
Right. It's just so many generations have done it so much, and you're comfortable with it, that you'd want to ignore what the Bible says and just say, you know what? I'm just going to continue to live the way I'm living. You know what I mean? It's just easier that way. But no, I'm telling you, it's difficult to go against the grain, and you're gonna get persecuted, you're gonna get hatred, and there's gonna be a division between you and your family, right? But that's all we have for today. All praise to the Most High. We got to get our opportunity to speak the truth and speak the understanding. Lord, as well, we get some more more classes in the future and stuff. I know sometimes it's the Spanish and Black Spanish and Deacon's class, and then we have a lot of topics on this. So we have English, but Lord will be here another week.
But y'all tune in this Wednesday for Deacon Yahshua.
All praises.
That's the mighty
power.
Deacon Yahshua.
Power hour.
All right.
Shalom.
Shalom, Israel.
Happy Sabbath.
This for the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Sharala.
Hey, one nation, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza.
We one nation, one nation.
This for the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Sharala.
Hey, one nation, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza.
We one nation, one nation.
It wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans. Black love, brown pride, cause we next to kin. We ain't gotta tell Esau to let's be friends, cause we above all nations and we better than them. We the salt of the earth, ay, ay. And we been king since birth, ay, ay. We put the kingdom first, ay, ay. And they gon' get this work, ay, ay. We was chosen, not cause we the most of the people. Few in numbers, but we over the people. We gods of this earth, we ain't supposed to be equal. Stop playing, you emotional people. The good gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot's on the throat of the eagle. Their tongues will confess that we the people. Cause my nation ain't never been feeble.
For the Southern Kingdom.